Hello, magic seekers, and welcome to It Turns Out She's a Witch.
We're your hosts, Laura and Shannon,
and welcome to our podcast coven.
Turns Out She's a Witch podcast would like to begin today by acknowledging the Darkin Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which we live and record the podcast. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Hello to our beautiful podcast coven. We have a truly beautiful episode in store for you. We are joined by a special guest who we are very excited to speak with today. She's an ordained Mary Magdalene priestess, trauma-informed somatic life coach, womb awakening healer, Magdalene womb yoga facilitator, energy medicine practitioner, and soon-to-be certified Palladian lightworker. She is a passionate advocate for devotional and ceremonial work that consecrates our daily lives with gratitude, reverence, ritual, magic, and mystery. She's here on the earth at this time to teach, speak her truth, and authentically share and guide from an ancient pool of wisdom. We are truly delighted to welcome to the podcast Claire Obeid.
Hi.
Hi.
It's always so intense having somebody read your bio back to you. Thank you for the welcome.
Oh, we're delighted to have you here, and yeah, we just cannot wait to dig into this episode with you. So thank
Amazing. You. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I love the name of the podcast. I even had to tell my eight-year-old daughter, do you know I'm going to be chatting to some girls on a podcast called Turns Out She's a Witch? And she went, what? You're not a witch. I'm a witch, Mama.
Oh, I love that.
So we're all very excited. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my goodness. What a pleasure and an honour. And after listening to that bio and reading up and everything, it's like we have to speak to you. Oh. There's so many interesting things woven in there.
Yes, there's a lot. It's been a lot.
We can't wait to have a little dig around and no doubt just scratch the surface of all these things. But, yeah, what an experience this is going to be, I'm sure.
Amazing. Thank you. Can't wait.
Now, first of all, a question I always love to ask our guests, what does the word witch mean to you?
Such a good question. And when I was pondering on this, I was thinking that the first thing that comes out, there's so many things, like as there always is, so many threads, but the first thing that comes out for me is somebody that works with medicine in a holistic way. Whether that is a woman or a man, I think that a witch can apply to anyone, to be honest, these days, but somebody that has a relationship with plants, with the earth, with medicine that comes from the earth, with essential oils, and then somebody who is attuned to cycles and then the rituals and the ceremony that come from that. And the witch for me today is a banner that can bring in healer, midwife, energy worker, facilitator, even somebody who is a teacher that works with children but somehow weaves some of this magic into their life. So I really think it's quite a broad banner these days. Mm-hmm. And I think many of us are reclaiming that word or that term witch. I'm sure that you can move further down into the occult and some of the more that deeper witchy work that still exists there. But for me, it kind of really taps into the way that we harness medicine in some way that's holistic and attuned and really aligned with the mind, body, soul, spirit, all of those parts coming together in cohesion with Mother Nature, with the earth, with our planet. Mm. Yeah.
So perfect. Can't disagree.
You just encompassed it all then so beautifully.
Yeah, I think it's such a personal experience, but when I tune to what I feel a witch to be, it's very much connected to nature and it's very much connected to healing and ritual, and that they're quite broad terms. So I really think that we can apply them to our own daily experience, even a mother preparing food for her child and being really mindful of the ingredients that she's including and her relationship with where these ingredients came from and from the earth and from the farmers and from the soil. I think that then you can weave in that witchy quality to even that on a daily basis, which is a ritual in itself, right?
Yeah, 100%. And yeah. I remember when Shannon first started this podcast and there was an episode, I think we named it All My Witches or something like that. And Shannon went through and was talking about different types of witches, you know, green witch or kitchen witch or hedge witch. I remember going, oh, I'm a little bit of that one, I'm a little bit of that one, I'm a little bit of that one. And it really is all those deep-seated intentions where it's that practice behind everything that you're doing and and making the magic and, you know, imbuing things with that intentional purpose that you're giving it. And it's that way of living. And it's beautiful.
I love that. Practice is one of my favorite words because I really think that we're here to live a life of practice, which is a devotional experience. And whatever we're doing in our life, it's not about reaching a particular goal or getting to the end point of a creation. It's the practice of being in that. So I really love that you mentioned that word because to me that's what everything is about that we do and which is continuously in practice and in devotion and in ritual. So I love that you pulled that word out.
So much, yes. And I really love how you sort of described it as in broad terms, like it's almost an umbrella term and then there's different ways. And that's the way, you know, anything should be, right? Because what resonates with me is different to you and different to Shannon. And we've got that ability to be able to, you know, live that for ourselves. And it still, you know, brings us back to a commonality as well at the same time. So
that's right.
Yeah. Super cool. Well, I would love to know what little Claire was like and when did the world of spirit really open up for you?
Okay, so it's so interesting trying to answer this question because like the feminine, it's a multifaceted answer that isn't linear. It's a spiral because so much of what I know about myself as a child is a mixture of memory, of somatic experience that's still living in my body, and also what I have come to understand as an adult in my spiritual journey, uncovering truth. So it's really interesting to try and answer that question because there's not a really beginning point where I can say it began here. But if I look back at my child, I grew up with a very, very religious mother, has a very strong connection to the Virgin Mary, to Mother Mary, and to Jesus, and has a very strong relationship. I was going to say to Catholicism, but it's not really. She comes from the Middle East, and the religion there that she comes from is Maronite Christian. So it's a very strong feminine based energy.
Okay, wow.
So yeah, it's really beautiful. So I have had a lot of experience with her understanding of spirituality through her lens, and having experiences with my mum in prayer as a child. Watching her pray in the middle of the night while she was sick and feeling beings and light beings and the presence of Mother Mary coming into the space. I even have recollections of actually seeing the Virgin Mary come over to my mum in the middle of the night and praying over her. So there's that I recall and I remember and I understand. There's also the recollection of having an innate understanding of the fairy kingdom and the wisdom of the earth and often speaking to flowers and plants in the garden. But of course, a lot of that was very quickly shut off and shut down by certain people in my life and in my family because, of course, it's unusual and strange.
It's very weird.
So very, very weird. There she is staring at the plants and talking to them. and I have so many examples like that where I recall and have a sense of an understanding of something outside of ourselves, something that's unseen but very obviously real to me as a child. And then, of course, there's this line where it all kind of shuts off and goes quiet and the disconnection's very, very real. And then if I'm to be really honest, there is a lot of rejection of spirituality and, of course, through the lens of religion that obviously happens for most of us. So there's a really long period of time where I feel like there's no connection to the spiritual self or the divine, which I think is really normal for so many of us.
Very common.
Right. It's not encouraged, and we also want to reject what is pushed in front of us. So when my mother would ask me to connect to something divine or to pray to Mary or to call out for assistance, I would roll my eyes and reject that, which makes me laugh because that's precisely what I do today, every single day.
Look at you now.
I know, it's ridiculous. I often say to my mum, you just must be giggling. And she's like, no, I'm not. I just feel so much relief and joy that you have such a strong connection now.
Oh, nice.
I know, it's really beautiful. But then if I look back over the last, I guess, 15, 20 years in my adult life, it all really began with my yoga practice. It was when I first found myself on the yoga mat and started to work into my body and have these really big somatic and emotional releases, where I started to realize that there was something else going on for me and something else available for me that wasn't previously there or that I wasn't connected to before. Mm. So very long story. Cut short, the yoga practice obviously started to feed into so many different other interests and ideas and, you know, went down different pathways of study. And each step along the way opened me more and more and more to the spiritual self that I am today, which I believe still is continuously evolving. There's still so much more to connect to. So this is what I mean by it being a spiral, because I know that little me was so connected and so tapped in, but then she was also so disconnected and so switched off from it all. And everything that I understand about little Claire and her spiritual self is mostly through the recollection or the reclamation of memories and stories and dreams that have come back through in my spiritual journey as an adult, and me kind of going, oh, wow, I was actually like this. And I was really connected and I was really switched on and I was really attuned, but then it was obviously very quickly turned off. So yeah, it's an interesting spiral to kind of ride through and make peace with, I guess, who I was, what I lost, who I am, who I'm becoming, and just accepting all of that and embracing it all. Yeah.
Mm. It makes so much sense. Yeah. It's not sort of a unfamiliar territory that you described just there, where it's all there when you're little, you're so open and just doing it, and until we're told otherwise, and then, you know, layered even on you know, puberty and going through all those changes where you're just not wanting to care about that kind of thing.
That's right.
Well, generally speaking, I'm sure there's some that, you know, are different, but yeah.
Like, I really had to be pushed in certain ways to access that part of myself, and for many people I think it becomes apparent that there is more than just this physical reality when we go through a dark night of the soul. And for me, that began with health issues in my 20s. I remember developing something called an ectopic heartbeat, which was an irregular and additional heartbeat that shouldn't have been there.
Oh.
I remember marching into the doctor's office and just assuming, okay, he's going to run a test and maybe prescribe some medication and this will go away. And I really believe in that moment that spirit moved through this GP, because he's not this kind of man. And he turned to me and he said, whatever is going on inside your head, Claire, fix that first. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I'd been slapped in the face. And I thought, how dare you? Something is wrong with my heart. Mm. Hello. Do your thing and look after me. But then when I got home, I couldn't let go of that. And I thought, what is happening here? So that obviously led me down the exploration, of course, my own physical well-being, but then also my mental well-being, which then opened me up into more of my emotional well-being, which then opened me up into my spiritual well-being. And I'm so grateful, because at every one of those gateways, I was introduced to another teacher who expanded my perspective or taught me something or awakened a gift in me that I didn't know was there. Mm. So a lot of who I am today is this continuous process of healing and also of reclaiming ancient information and data that's stored inside, and just having to unlock at each step of the way that gate and seeing what other aspect of my spiritual self is ready to be awakened and to come forward. So I'm so grateful for the myriad of teachers and practices and stories and places that have provided that for me to bring me back to, yes, the spiritual little Claire that existed, but also something much more ancient and much more embodied than it could ever have been. So it's all perfect.
It is, isn't it? It's an unfolding at the right time.
Monster. Mm. Yeah, that's right.
And it sounds as though everything you've been through is you continue that by, you know, learning and sharing that as well in what you do these days.
Always, yeah. Always. I don't believe that anything that I've learnt or embodied is mine to own or keep. I don't believe that it's unique to me. And I feel that part of being able to access that wisdom, especially if it feels like it's quite ancient or if it feels like it's a gift, is that it is sacred service and needs to be passed on and shared and to support other people to come back to wholeness for themselves, because there is no one person out there that heals you. There is no one person out there that can fix you. That doesn't exist. I don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. But there are people that are catalysts for opening those gates and walking you through that can bring you back to that sense of self and that spiritual alignment. And I think that that's probably one of my greatest joys, is to participate in that with other people and their journeys and say, this is what I learned and I now get to gift this to you. If it aligns, fantastic. If it's feeling great, even better. If it works, beautiful. So I think that's probably the thing I love the most.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. So beautiful. And it really is one of our values as well, which is where this podcast was birthed from as well, is being able to speak with people like yourself and share so much to a wider audience and, you know, pay that forward.
Yeah, I love that. Mm. I love that so much. Mm. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Now, Claire, how important is ceremony and ritual within your own day-to-day life?
Oh, yeah. I want to preface this with, there was a point in time not that long ago where ceremony was near impossible for me and felt like a total drag and felt like another thing to do. And I really want to lead with that, because there are many people that may be listening that feel like, oh, I should do ceremony or I should be in sacred ritual, but it doesn't feel aligned or it doesn't feel resonant. And I think that that's just whatever stage that we're at. Yeah. I had little children and I was doing this really beautiful program, and there were some very specific rituals required to connect in with these energies, and okay. I just couldn't do it. I just didn't want to do it. So when it started to call out to me again, I felt like, oh, okay, there's been this interesting shift in my life, because to sit in ceremony for me feels like sitting in sacred devotion to self, and to self, which means to source. And ceremony, it's not complicated. It can be, depending on what you're doing, but it can be as simple as lighting a candle and burning some incense and taking a moment just to take a deep breath and drop back into your body, and to punctuate and mark your day and your life with these little moments that feel sacred, these little moments that just feel like I'm not just this machine going through the motions, pushing through all of the lists and the things to do. I am actually human and highest. I am all of that at the same time. So for me, ceremony and ritual flows through my day in some way, either in a very large capacity or a very small capacity. And I don't really attach to what that looks like anymore. It just depends on what I'm called to each day. So it is very important. I don't feel complete without a moment of prayer or a moment of quiet, of reflection, of a moment to gaze upon the stars or look at the moon or give thanks for the cloudy day that makes the beautiful sunrise even more incredible. Just something that weaves in gratitude and that amplifies the mystery of this life. That feels like I could get to the end of my days and have a very humble and basic life, and I say basic with quotation marks, and yet still feel fulfilled, because I've had a connection to something that is both divine and human at the same time. That feels really important. And I grew up with my mum lighting a candle and placing it under her statue of Mother Mary every single day. Or saying, oh, you've got your exam today. Okay, I'm going to light a candle and say a prayer for you. And whilst on the surface it seems really simple or flippant, it's actually not. It's a pause. It's a moment to pause and say, I see you. I honor the experience that you're having, and I want to hold you through that. So for me, ceremony is about that for myself, but also for other people as well. Mm. Yeah, I hope that answered your question.
Oh, beautifully.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You can tell I can talk. I could keep going.
I love it. Great. I could listen to you all day.
Yes. It makes you a perfect guest to have on the podcast because that's what we do here, funnily enough. We talk lots.
I love it.
Oh, I would love to delve more into your work as an ordained Mary Magdalene priestess.
Yeah.
Can you share with us how this came to be and what this work entails?
Mm. Well, you've probably figured out already that there's always a story with me.
Perfect.
I was at this time, this is quite a few years ago now, maybe 12 years ago, working with a beautiful teacher called Belinda Davidson. And she was really opening me up to the theory that I had learned in my yogic training, but into practice. So really understanding the chakras, really understanding the inner refined energetics of our being and starting to work and harness those energies a lot more. And I'd reached a particular point in our journey where I was now ready for the next stage, which was to access the 12 archetypes or the 12 essences of our soul. So this is moving into chakra 8 and beyond. And it was really big work. Like it took quite a lot of energy to keep my vibration raised very high to access these particular essences. And then I fell pregnant, which immediately grounds you, right? And immediately drops you more into your body and onto the earth. So I was having a little bit of trouble accessing these 12 essences that I'd already met at this time, but there was one left that I hadn't worked with. And I remember being on the beach, meditating with my giant belly in the sand and sunbeaming down on me. And I went into this meditation and was accessing chakra 8. And then this incredible image of this woman popped up into my third eye. And I should clarify that my psychic abilities, I don't actually have clear visioning and seeing. It's more in other ways. So it was quite a shock to me to see this woman in front of me. And at first I thought it was Mother Mary because she looked remarkably similar. And I was quite shocked. I left that meditation, went to visit my mentor, and she said to me halfway through the session, "Claire, at what point are you going to mention Mary Magdalene to me?" Oh, almost wow. Fell off my chair.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, my God, is that who it was? I've got goosebumps. And she said, uh-huh, that's who it was. She said, so we're going to talk about this. Now, to clarify, when you access the 12 essences of your soul, it's not that you are accessing yourself as Mary Magdalene. It's the consciousness and the energy that that archetype holds that you hold as one thread in your experience. So Mary Magdalene then showed up in my life. And a lot of people maybe don't understand this about her, but she's very much about humanity and divinity. So she pushed me into the shadow with the birth of my daughter. She pushed me in order to show me all the places that were yet to be fully healed and to really come face to face with myself. So I had a very huge initiation with her in those first 6 to 12 months after my daughter was born. And after that point, when it started to ease, I remember thinking, okay, that was you. I get it. But I'm not going to go. Thank you. Well, I still wasn't able to say thank you at that point. I was still quite broken. So it was quite full on. But I was like, I'm not going to hunt you down. I'm not going to hunt you down. You came for me. I'm leaving it with you. You want me, you come and get me and you show me how. So it wasn't that much longer when she started to find ways to pop up into my news feed or to send little signals and messages. Wow. I know, it was really interesting. And so one day my teacher, my current teacher, Anna Otero, popped up into my news feed for a ridiculously, stupidly low price to do a 6-week course with Mary Magdalene. And I remember like I hadn't even read the first sentence and I was already paying for it. So I journeyed with Anna. I think I've been journeying with her for now 5 years. And my first initiation into that work was via the Magdalene Womb Yoga Path. So I started to learn all of these really beautiful ancient practices and teachings that hail from all different places, Kundalini, Tantra, Egyptian energy medicine, many things that are channeled directly from Mary Magdalene through Anna Otero, my teacher. And I was kind of avoiding the priestess training. It's like, who am I to be a priestess? I don't even know what that means. Do I baptize people? Like, what is
what's the responsibility here?
What do I do with this? So I dabbled with the womb yoga practices and the training in that. I repeated the training 2 or 3 times actually, because I was like, and then I remember reading Anna's book, and there was this whole passage about the bee goddess, which is a very long, complicated story. But as I finished reading that chapter, I walked down the street with my daughter and I just randomly got stung by a bee. And I know, I didn't even see the bee. And I looked down at my hand and it had left a moon-shaped scar on my left wrist. I was like, oh my God, I have to do this priestess training. I don't know what this is, but I have to do this. So then that began a 2-year spiral into priestess training. So priestess training is and has been a life-changing experience, but it's very much about accessing very ancient wisdom, very ancient teachings through the Mary Magdalene lineage, which of course includes Yeshua and Gnostic Christianity and Kabbalah and biblical astrology and mirror training, working with essential oils. Like, it's very, very deep and very thorough and probably one of the most intensive experiences I've been on.
Wow.
But the purpose is not to necessarily send you out into the world to do anything with that, because as I mentioned before, witch / priestess / mystic, it's about who you are and how you engage with medicine in your life and in your experience. So there are many women who have journeyed through priestess training who just apply the teachings to their own personal practice, experience, and life. And there are people like me who have decided to bring it out into the world in dribs and drabs and in different ways that I feel really called to do. So I feel like the work I do as a priestess comes through in how I mother and how I parent. It comes through in how I hold space for women in circle. It comes through in my womb work, my womb healings, and the classes that I run. It comes through in how I engage with life, how I engage with nature, how I engage with cycles and seasons. And it, of course, has holistic arts, embodied wisdom, ancient teachings. We work with the drum, we work with oils, we work with sound, a lot of sound. We perform sacred rites and rituals. So it's all these different things, but as my teacher describes, it's a spiral, and you show up for the teaching, and if that teaching resonates, you take it and you work with it, and if it doesn't, it's not for you. It's not linear. We're never tested on anything. We're never expected to know anything other than what we choose to take and embody. So it's really quite a personal, soul-driven experience. And to be a priestess for me now is not so much a title, but more about embodying more and more and more of my ancient soul and more of the gifts and the teachings and the wisdom that I've carried through many lifetimes, and just allowing them to be present in this lifetime, where I'm not going to be burned at the stake, where I'm not going to be hunted down, where I'm not going to be abused and hurt and broken, where I can just allow that to be part of my daily life and simultaneously be really human, just be really real, because that's what Mary Magdalene is about. You are human and you are divine. And we're going to be the bridge between both of those. We're going to be the conduit that connects the divine to the human. We're not transcending the body. We're not leaving the earthly plane. We're here and right now in this moment. So how do we remember that we are the queendom of heaven right here? How do we embody that? So that, to me, what being a priestess is about, is just bringing all of that into this experience and playing with it, just playing with it.
Gosh, wow. So cool. So much.
So much.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Incredible.
But all good things, even when they're scary and deep, you know, it's still, you're still held and supported.
100%. Yeah, and Mary Magdalene has this really interesting energy. She pushes her hand on your back and she says, that way, and you'll be going, that's the darkest corner of the hole. Like, what? No, I'm not going there. And she's like, that way. That's where you find yourself. That's where you find the light. Go into the dark. And I'm still here and I'm not going to leave you, but that's where you find your light. So it's a really interesting experience, because that's what humanity is about. It's polarity. It's black and white. It's pain and joy. So who are we to ignore that aspect and always try to transcend it? It's like that tantric energy. We're here in this body. Let's work with that. We're here in this experience. Let's work with that. And let's bring the divine here and have all of that and encompass all of that at the same time.
Perfect.
Oh, my gosh.
It's good to remember that.
It really is.
It takes a lot. It takes a lot to remember that.
So I think a lot of the time, or I shouldn't say a lot of the time, but you do see it, especially with social media. Strive for the light, be the light. It's all the light, the light, the light. Where, as you say, we usually find out more about our strengths and our own personal power and our sovereignty in the dark.
That's right. That's right. I think when we strive only for the light, we bypass, right? And when we bypass, we're ignorant. We're switching off from the realities. And it's not that I'm saying get lost in the dark. Mm. Absolutely not. Mm. But you have to walk that. And the reality is we choose our path. It's chosen from the moment that we're born. There's either forward or back. It doesn't often deviate. So continue to walk forward. And as you walk forward in the dark, and you light a candle and everything is lit up, and then you can see a little bit more and you can understand a bit more, then you embody the light. And so you're not striving for it. You are it. And you're holding that light and you're calling in even more light. So it's more about the capacity that we have to hold life and hold more and more light because we have journeyed with the dark. The shadow is what makes the light brighter. It's like those sunrises that we get in autumn. They're spectacular because there's more cloud.
Mm.
And the reflection and the color, it's just magic.
Mm.
It's depth. Yeah, that depth, that's exactly it.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, so beautiful, Claire. I could seriously listen to you talk all day.
Yeah.
But I'm going to move along. So in our correspondence, you mentioned that you work closely with Pleiadian energy in your energy healings and readings.
Yes.
So for those listeners that may not know, can you share what this is?
Absolutely. So the Pleiadian energy came knocking to me a few years ago, and I thought, gosh, that makes so much sense. I'm a quadruple Aquarian, like I'm straight up alien. Wow. There is no way that I'm originally from this planet. So I really felt this strong affinity, but I didn't really understand, you know, what this Pleiadian energy is. And then I moved into priestess training, and it became apparent that the Pleiadian energy is very connected to the Venusian energy, the Venus energy, which is in ancient Egypt, the Hathorian energy, so the seven Hathors, the goddess Hathor. So there is this very, very strong link to these beautiful energies. And so as I was journeying through my priestess training, I was also working very closely with my Pleiadian mentor and guide, who was working with me healing some major, major blocks that I had around accessing my own spiritual psychic gifts. And when I say major blocks, I mean she would help clear it, and then the next session she'd go, wow, you clamped your channels again. You shut off your channels again. Here we go again. I think we probably moved through, I'm not joking, maybe 20 or 30 past lives minimum, where I had been a powerful healer of some sort, and of course gone through something really horrible and shut my light and my connection off. So the Pleiadian energy is this really beautiful, well, the Pleiadian lightwork modality is this really beautiful multidimensional healing modality where we get to work with really ancient techniques and practices and activations that hail from what's called the Dolphin Star Mystery School, which was created by Amora Kuan Yin. So Amora Kuan Yin actually journeyed almost daily with the Pleiadians. They would basically come to her, take her, send her on an astral journey, take her to different stars and give her teachings. She would then come back and write them down, and they turned into these trainings. Mm-hmm. But she was shown that these trainings specifically came from Lemuria, Atlantis, and then into ancient Egypt. So these Pleiadian beings have been journeying with humans for thousands and thousands upon thousands of years. And it's said to be that they're one of the first group of light beings to come to Earth to seed a lot of the information that helped our collective to grow and to learn. So things like using sound to cut stone to create pyramids. So these Pleiadians have a very strong relationship with human beings, and their main purpose is to support us. They are the most beautiful beings that I've ever had the chance to connect with. And in these Pleiadian readings and healings, I'm basically just the channel. I just open up and these beings come in, and many other ascended beings as well. And I get to find out what is happening in my client's body, and in the energy field and look at past lives, look at beliefs, look at contracts, look at cords. Basically, they show me anything that's for their highest good to clear, and then we're able to release them all out. So this work is probably some of my favorite work, because what I had to go through to be able to open up to access this energy is like I really took myself through it. I really went into the depths and into the very most ancient part of myself in order to bring all of this back. And as I say that, like my whole body starts to vibrate again, because it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy journey for me. So it allows us to come into a spiritual awakening, or to realign, or come into affinity on a physical, emotional, mental place. We get to come back into our humanity and our divinity, raise our vibration, balance all of our bodies. I mean, some of my favorite work is when we get to go into the personality section of the brain. It's this triangle, and we get to clear all the blocks in our personality and bring everything back into affinity, or going back into past lives and seeing what's happening in a past life that's playing out today, and basically clearing that and rewriting that. So it's a very, very gentle modality, and it's a very loving modality, but it's deep. And so sometimes clients will walk out of a session feeling incredible, and then 3 days later they're messaging me going, oh my God, it's all coming up and this is wild. But then give them 2 weeks and the way that they were thinking before has completely rewritten, or their behaviors have completely rewritten, or people that were infiltrating their energy in a really negative way are no longer doing so. I have seen the most dramatic and incredible shifts for myself and others through this incredible, incredible modality. I'm so grateful that they found me and that I get to do this work. It's really, really beautiful. It really is.
And you just mentioned that the Magdalene frequency is quite connected to the ancient Egyptian, Lemurian, Atlantean wisdom teachings.
Yes.
How is that connection?
Yeah, good question. So the Magdalene frequency and energy is very much connected to the Venusian energy and the divine feminine frequency. So some people believe that, say, Yeshua and Mary Magdalene and many of their other disciples would have traveled to many different places to receive teaching. So, for example, India, or moving even into Glastonbury and those places.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a lot of information out there that states that they actually received quite a lot of extensive training. Now, a lot of the healings that Mary Magdalene did and does, and same with Yeshua, are very connected to ancient Egyptian teachings and healings. A lot of mantra and mudra, of course, is connected to Indian and yogic tradition as well. And then you have this Pleiadian Hathorian energy. And the Pleiadian Hathorian energy, the Hathors, the seven Pleiadian sisters, it works a lot with sound, works a lot with sound as frequency and sound as healing. So a lot of what Mary Magdalene does and what has come through in the lineage that I've studied with is very much based on the power of sound. So using mantra and using particular sound to create healing and to create a shift in somebody's vibration. So that's all very much connected to those very, very ancient teachings. Mm-hmm. So when I tune into the essence of the Magdalene energy, or consciousness, I should say, I get almost drawn back through the timeline, and I can see how anchored in ancient Egypt, I can see how anchored in Atlantis, I can see how anchored in Lemuria. Lemuria is very connected to Mother Mary. So you have this really ancient lineage that we all think is created and connected to Catholicism, but it's actually not. It's actually older. Older than that, and much more connected to God, goddess energy, to unity consciousness, to the light beings that have been in support of these beings and offered their teachings and their wisdom. So it's like a melting pot, right? And if we want to be linear about it, we can, but I think we really limit ourselves on being able to just welcome and embody those teachings. So for me, that Venus connection kind of brings everything together, that Venus Rose lineage. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. So cool.
Oh, it's incredible. And it sounds so deeply powerful as well.
It is. Mm. It is. It's really beautiful. I mean, the practice that I do every morning, which varies a little bit, which connects to this Rose lineage and to the Venus lineage and to a lot of these Pleiadian mantras and Magdalene womb yoga practices, it looks very strange on the outside. You know, a lot of people that come to some of my practices get to experience it, but it's the way that it makes you feel. You're so in your body but then also so connected to something greater and more divine. It's all of that at the same time. So it is quite profound and also very subtle at the same time.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I should also mention, sorry, my guides are actually saying, tell her about the chambers. So
please go on.
In my Pleiadian readings and healings, one of the healing modalities that I work with is something called chambers. So in ancient Egypt, they've actually found evidence of healing temples that look like chambers. So people would be brought in by priestesses and they would be sat in these actual chambers where they would receive particular frequencies and healings depending on what was required. So those are physical chambers, but they're imbued with really high frequencies. So I have access to that on an energetic level now. So when I work with somebody, I bring those chambers down energetically. So it's the exact same thing as what they brought into ancient Egypt and beyond, but we now have access to that just purely on an energetic multidimensional plane now. So that's one of the things that I find really beautiful is I simply have to ask them and they bring it in and it is, and it's so.
Whoa.
I know, it's amazing. I do it for my kids all the time. They get a cold and I'm like, okay, we're going to bring down a virus release chamber, or I'm going to help them sleep and all these really beautiful things. So it's just bringing the frequency of that that they've brought through the ages, and now I have access to that today. And I mean, hello, how good is that?
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Hearing you describe that reminds me of someone who we interviewed. He's an artist. He does Adam Perry Shannon. What's the name of his artwork that he does? It has a particular name. But it's all about sort of past lives, and he sees it. And he's an artist, so he draws it. And we both had individual sessions with him, but he was seeing that when he did my session. This big pyramid, and being one of these women who would go into a chamber, as you just described it, to do this sort of ritual. But then he drew, so that was inside, but then he drew the pyramid on the outside and people standing on the outside, and he's just like, you know, it's just depicting, like, you know, as within, so without. And, you know, it was just really cool.
That's so beautiful. That sounds amazing.
That's exactly how you were describing it as well. Yeah. That's cool.
It is incredible. I love it when things like that cross over and you start to realize, oh, wow, they're not just making this up, or this is not just some crackpot who's written a book. There's actually truth here, you know?
Yeah, you can join the dots. It's like,
That's right.
And I love how articulate you are about explaining all of this, because we've had so many of our listeners write in about Magdalene, about the rose lineage, about all these things, because there is so much out there, and it's hard sometimes to wrap your head around what it all encompasses, what it means. So yeah, thank you so much.
I mean, for me, at the very core, the Magdalene Venusian energy is sacred feminine energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's sacred feminine work. It's accessing the feminine aspect of God, and it's accessing that within our bodies. And so then that feeds into the womb work, because the womb is a portal for the feminine. The womb is a portal for creation energy, and creation is feminine. So like I said, you can try and be linear with this, or you can just feel the rose calls to you, feel into that, work with the rose for a little bit. The rose called to me and ended up getting it tattooed on my arm, because I was like, she won't leave me alone. I need to mark her on my body. And the rose led into so many other things, the Magdalene energy at the same time as the Pleiadian. It was all just this mess. And I just decided to really just surrender and open to it. And try not to read too much, actually, just feel what was true for me and understand it for what was resonating. I've read things afterwards and kind of gone, oh, wow, that's all threaded together and it makes sense. So whilst people really want to try and figure it out, it's also okay to not and actually just feel. And that's what a priestess does, feel what's true for you and bring it into a ritual or a ceremony in your own way. Maybe you bring the rose into your life and you work with her, and you receive the teachings directly from her, and that's it. That's all you need to know. It doesn't have to have information to it.
Yeah. And that brings me beautifully into the next question. Can you share your womb healing work with us, and who would benefit from it?
Yay. So in priestess training, I was so lucky to be able to move through facilitator training of a particular technique called awakening the womb. So these techniques are really connected to the Essenes. So the Essenes are a very ancient very ascetic community that existed thousands of years at the time of Jesus. And it said that he journeyed with, lived with, and learnt a lot from these particular people. They were a collective that very much believed in the feminine as well as the masculine. So the womb awakening healings are quite different to what other people maybe think when they consider a womb healing. It's very much steeped in ritual and very ancient wisdom-based teaching. So what it might look like when someone comes to a session is, after opening up space and working with the sacred directions and elements, so quite a shamanic energy comes through, I work with very ancient mudras and very ancient mantras. So there's a lot of sound and there's a lot of mudra worked over a body and around the space. So the healing can feel very subtle, but it will take you to quite an unusual place as you start to process whatever is in your womb that needs clearing and purifying. So in the lineage that I train in, we have six wombs that go from the physical all the way up to the cosmic womb, which is that really divine connection. So we work in quite a linear way just to keep the client really stabilized in their body, but we work through those six wombs just to clear out and purify and rebalance whatever is happening in any of those wombs at any given time. Because the womb space, of course, is a portal for creating life, but it's a portal for all creation. So whatever information or downloads you receive, we want to bring it down into a really purified space in our womb so then it can open up and come out into whatever we're ready to create. So I work with people who are trying to get pregnant, people who are trying to heal from hysterectomies, people who are open to more creativity moving through them, wanting to access more of their wisdom, or just wanting to deepen their connection with their body, their feminine, with their womb. So anything is possible in this ceremony and this ritual. It's really interesting. Sometimes I'll have clients just completely pass out in session and they'll come back and they'll say, I was a man in this lifetime, or I saw this, or I could feel my ancestors telling me these things. Anything is possible, but whatever is meant to be for you, whatever you're clearing will come through in that session. So it's quite cosmic and shamanic at the same time. Mm. And whilst I will touch a client's body, it's not a lot of massaging or body wrapping or womb wrapping like other techniques. So it's much more on the energetic plane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really beautiful. I know, it's really special. It's a good hour and a half experience minimum. Like it's quite a lot. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
I do love it. Mm. It's a very sacred experience. It feels like a very privileged experience to be able to offer this when it happens, because it feels very, very ancient when I'm in it. And I feel a lot of different light beings and ascended masters come into the space when we're doing a womb awakening healing, and I feel their presence very much really supporting the client. It's really beautiful.
That's so cool. Do you talk that through at the time or after the fact? Like, I don't know, what was going on?
There's not a lot of talking during the session, no. Yeah. Just because I'm trying to not cut through the energy of the mantras and the frequency that's coming through.
Yeah,
really just allowing it. Afterwards, there's time for us to debrief and to chat, and I will share.
Yeah.
Sometimes the guides will tell me not to share anything because they've already received what they need to receive.
Done. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And also I find sometimes when we give people too much information, then it makes them question whatever they've received.
Yeah.
It makes them question, saw this, and I'd rather them just receive as well what they're supposed to.
That makes perfect sense.
Really beautiful opportunity to just lie down and receive that nourishment. Yeah. Mm. It's lovely. It's yummy.
It really does.
Yes.
I saw on your website that you have events coming up, including the Elemental Womb at the beautiful La Tierra Curativa here on the Central Coast. What can people expect from this event?
It's one of my favorite things to offer. Thank you for bringing that up. So the Elemental Womb is on every third Friday of the month. We've just begun and we cycle through the six wombs. So at each particular session, we will access one of the different wombs. And it's a circle experience for women, but it does include some movement. So depending on what the practice is, we could be doing a lot of breath work and a lot of particular very ancient practices and mudras and movements that really allow us to access and to clear any stuck energy or to purify when we whatever we need to release in our body. So depending on the womb, it can be a little bit more physical or a little bit more subtle and a little bit more energetic. So the journey often includes a sound healing at the end and a really beautiful meditation and a really beautiful a chance just to kind of integrate, because it's quite powerful work. So the best way for me to describe it is if you could merge a Kundalini yoga practice with some tantric movement and breath, with some ancient Egyptian energy medicine techniques, with, I mean, I can't even use the word yoga. It doesn't even resemble yoga at all. with chanting, the drums there, we do some prayers and lots of sound healing. So it's a really incredible opportunity for us to drop into our body and also access that divinity that I've spoken about before. My favorite thing is watching women as they arrive and then when they leave. And usually when they leave, no one gets up and leaves very quickly. Everyone kind of lingers around the circle and just letting the energy settle. And most women, when they leave, are either ecstatic and blissed out, or they have tears in their eyes because they realize that they've connected back to something that they didn't know was there, or they felt this ancient remembrance to a time when they were priestesses and sat in circle. Or they are moving through a practice and their brain is telling them, this is so weird. Why am I moving my hands and my arms like this? But everything in their field and their body is just opening and there's more light flooding in. So it's just quite a gift to bring this into these women's lives and say, just let go of what you think and what your mind is telling you and actually just experience this and feel this reconnection back to womb and to body. And watch what shifts in your life after it. It's just it's a really beautiful experience. It's one of my favorite things to teach.
Oh gosh, I feel like going right now.
We need to sign up.
You're welcome. You're so welcome.
Thank you.
And before I get on to my next question, there's a word that we've said a few times now that I thought I might delve deeper into for our listeners. So somatic. What does somatic
mean?
Yeah, so for me, somatic is the body, soma. And when I first had my very first yoga class, that was my experience of what the body holds and not just the gross physical container. So the fact that your body holds trauma and emotion and energetic experiences and contains that for you in order for you to continue to survive and hopefully thrive. So when I tune into somatics, I'm not just talking about this is my physical body, I'm 5'1", I weigh this much. It's the all-encompassing experience of being divine in a human body and the mechanics and the energetics of all that we go through, all that we have to cope with, all that we hold, all that we've processed, all that we've experienced, held in this physical container, held in this body. So it's to me, it's so much more refined than just body. Right?
Thank you.
So when I journey with somebody, for example, as a somatic life coach, I will be talking to them on the mental plane, but we're often bringing it back into, so what's moving through your body and how does it feel and where are you feeling it? And also, how do we process that trauma on a somatic level? So can we stretch into that? That feels too much. How do we gently support our nervous system and our body to release or to process? So often just bringing people into their body and creating an emotional and a mental and a spiritual connection is a huge task and takes quite a long time to get them to a place where somatically there is an intelligence that starts to amplify. So it's the journey from the head to the heart is said to be the longest one, right? So that's what that feels like to me. It feels like using and supporting and being with the body to create that easier pathway, I guess, from head to heart, so we can come back home, come back to wholeness. Because I don't believe we can be whole without all parts of us being tended to. You know, so when I have a lot of emotion stored in my body, it's in physically, I feel it in my body.
Yeah.
But then once I tend to it, it's an emotional and an energetic release. And our body is the most densest part of us, so it's the last thing to show the pain that we're holding. And that's why disease comes about. That's why illness comes about, because it's the last port of call. And that's where it's starting to scream loudly and say, I've been holding this for 20, 30 years and you're not processing it, you're not paying attention, you've pushed it away, and I've been sending you signals, but please listen, talk, address, be with me, help me. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's what somatics really represents.
Beautifully said. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, is there a particular quote that resonates with you deeply, and would you mind sharing it with our listeners?
Of course. It's not a quote. I apologize.
That's all good.
Oh, terrible.
Oh, God, I'm just laughing at myself. I remember my school reports. Claire could go really far in life if she just stopped talking. Sorry. So there is one very short quote that is kind of like my overarching daily reminder, and that is, it's only a problem if you object to it. So it's kind of a filter that I place across everything, which is, you're objecting to this, you've created a problem, or don't object to it, it's no longer a problem. So it's a really easy way for me just to kind of circuit break my intensity or my rage or frustration that might come up with two small children. You know, those of us mums, we get it.
Oh, yes,
definitely.
My son has been sick for the last week, and when he's sick, he's quite ragey. So there's been a lot of punching and hitting of mum. And of course, I'm not a saint. I don't love being punched and hit. So I'm like, it's only a problem if I object to it. Actually, I really object to this. I'm going to have to leave right now.
No one's punching back.
That's right. That's right. But the little passage I want to read for you is from the Essene Gospel of Peace. So there's a lot of scripture out there, a lot that's not in our Bible, that's not in the Catholic Bible, that gives you a lot more information about Yeshua, his teachings, the way of love, Mary Magdalene, that lineage. So on the very first page, it's one of my favorite passages, Yeshua, Jesus is speaking, and he's asked by his disciples, who is our mother and which her angels? And where is her kingdom? And let me just specify and highlight that they've asked, who is our mother? They've used that feminine. And Yeshua's response, your mother is in you and you in her. She bore you. She gives you life. It was she who gave to you your body, and to her shall you one day give it back again. Happy are you when you come to know her and her kingdom. If you receive your mother's angels and if you do her laws, I tell you truly, he/she who does these things shall never see disease. For the power of our mother is above all, and it destroys Satan and his kingdom, and has rule over all your bodies and all living things. The blood which runs in us is born of the blood of our earthly mother. Her blood falls from the clouds, leaps up from the womb of the earth, babbles in the brooks of the mountains, flows wide in the rivers of the plains, sleeps in the lakes, rages mightily in tempestuous seas. I won't go on, but he continues to speak about the air and our bones and our flesh and our eyes and all parts of ourselves and all parts of the mother, and how this brings us back home to that divine feminine energy. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite passages because it's that divine and human experience again. It's that reverence for the sacred feminine. It's the reverence for the mother who has been, of course, so squashed and brutalized and dismantled for thousands of years. And it reminds me that whilst perhaps these teachings got lost and misinterpreted along the way, that maybe we're ready to embrace them and to understand them and to learn from them and to maybe integrate them into our life and our culture again. And as a mother, it's really empowering. It's really empowering to hear these words and think, yes, yeah, I really get that. I really resonate with that. And I honor the mother in all of her forms.
Powerful stuff. Yeah.
Yes. I highly recommend the Essene Gospel of Peace.
Beautiful. Have you written that down, Shannon, for the show notes?
I have, yes.
That's great. Thank you. Claire, so on the podcast, we have a divine tool of the week each episode to share with our listeners. Is there anything in particular that you love working with in ritual?
This is so hard for me because I could say EFT, I could say breath work, I could say daily energy medicine movement. My God, it's like the list is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And being a multimodality person, I'm going to speak to what's maybe true for me right now, what I'm really, really accessing every single day. There are two particular things that I do without fail. One of it is to work with sacred essential oils. So in priestess training, we're trained in something called mirophore work. Mirophore is a priestess of the oil. And sacred anointing oils are very much a part of this lineage. So when we work with an oil, it's an oil that we've consecrated. So we've prayed over, chanted over it, used our breath to really anoint the power of this oil. So I use oils every single day. I anoint different parts of my body. And as I do so, I really connect in with my body and I really connect in with prayer. And I find working with these oils to be such a beautiful way to bring nature into my daily experience and work with the medicine of plants, and also to feel I don't need a priest and I don't need someone externally to bless me. I can do that. These oils and my connection and relationship to them and my connection to my divine self, simply touching myself and saying a prayer, I am receiving that blessing every single day. So anybody can do that. It's just consecrating your daily life with a ritual that you imbue with devotion and with intention. That's really it. The other practice is from Pleiadian Lightwork, and it is daily grounding myself with an energy cord. So for women, this energy cord comes out from the lower womb, and we bring that right down to the very center of the earth, and we wrap that around the, something called the Goddess Gaia crystal, so a crystal that's at the center of the earth. And then we bring up these beautiful colors, whatever color comes to you, and we surround our entire energy field with this light from Gaia. So that's something I do every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, just to ground my energy. And then I surround my body and my field with roses. So in Pleiadian light work, we work with roses a lot. And the roses are boundary protection. So they're to prevent anything that's not for us coming in, and also to prevent anything that we shouldn't be spewing onto other people from coming out. So I use these roses before and after every client session in the morning and the evening. And I really feel quite protected and held when I work with these two particular practices. So they're the tools that I'd love to share, because I think they're really simple, but they're also really powerful.
Incredible. Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah. I could see roses when you were talking about
it. Yes, so could I.
Absolutely. Do your roses change colors depending on what you're doing?
Sometimes, yeah. So what happens when your rose is in front of you, you pull them from your heart and you place them around your body. So in front of you, either side of you, behind you, above you and below you. And then you'll watch them bloom. Just take a moment to connect with them and you'll see what color they are. They can be any color. And as the day goes on, if you've had a day where you're exposed to a lot of energy, when you check in again, you may see that those roses are looking a little bit crumpled or a bit decayed. They've taken in a lot of energy. So you just scoop them up in your mind. You throw them away from you as far as possible. Like I see them go across the mountain near me and I see them just blow up. I just see them just dissolve. And then you lay down those roses again. And again, any color that comes to you is exactly what it's supposed to be.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Such a beautiful practice.
It's really powerful. You can thank the Pleiadians for that one.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's said that the rose actually is not originally from planet Earth. It's originally from Venus. So it's something that was found on this planet well before humans ever existed. So before we could even cultivate the flower. And of course, many people know that if you look at the center of a rose and you Google rose and Venus, you'll see the pathway that Venus moves through the sky, right? Crazy. So it is a very celestial, very magical flower.
They really are. I've got a beautiful peach rose bush at our front door at the moment that's just going crazy, and I've got one next to my bed, and I was only looking at it this morning thinking, this doesn't even look like it's real. It's that beautiful.
I know.
Oh,
I know. Incredible. And then you smell them and the intoxication, it's just like, it's medicine. It's instant
medicine.
It really
is.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, Claire, do you have anything brewing you would like to share with our podcast coven, and how can everyone find you and your incredible offerings?
You can find me claireobeyed.com or Instagram. I think it's at claireobeyed_. I'm not that great at sharing. Sometimes I just kind of get into this like, oh, my God, it's too much. But I will always send out newsletters, so please do hook up in that way. I am running, obviously, the Elemental Womb every third Friday of the month, which is a really great experience if you're in person here on the coast. For those of you that are only digital, every quarter I run an online multidimensional group healing called Unburdened. So that's purely all Pleiadian energy. So I bring in a lot of the Pleiadian work and we do a group healing. It's really powerful. Lots of auric cleansing and chakra cleansing. And then we go through and just take out any negative or foreign energy. And then we do a little bit of womb work. But I also have brewing two longer courses that I'm just trying to really nail down. And one of which is for those that want a priestess experience without obviously going through the very arduous and long experience of becoming a priestess. So a shorter 3-month journey where you get to really dive into the power of oils and mantra and mudra and prayer and working with the cycles and biblical astrology and Kabbalah and all these sort of beautiful practices and ancient wisdom teachings. I know it's very incredible. And the other is for those that are really ready to awaken their inner healer. So I've personally gone on such a big journey of trying to access that part of myself to really clear the blocks to letting myself own the term healer and really being able to open those psychic senses. So just bringing in an experience for people to learn lots of the modalities that I have trained in over 10, 15 plus years and to bring a lot of those gifts out so people can actually do their sacred service in the work and the world that they're meant to do. So they're still brewing. Stay connected, stay tuned. Hopefully I can make that all happen this year.
Lovely.
Amazing.
Yeah. So sign up to the newsletter, like you
said. That's right.
Yes. And we will provide links in the show notes attached to this episode. So our beautiful listeners need only scroll down and find all the places that they can find you and connect with you at.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's so beautiful to share all this with you.
Oh, it's just been,
amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. I've got so many more questions. This could go for another hour, but we'll get you back on at some point, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Would love to whenever you're ready. Yeah. But it was so beautiful to share this. I know there's a lot. So if any of your listeners have questions, please just fire them at me and I'll do my best.
Lovely. Well, that will be the makings of return episode there.
Yes.
Right on in, write your questions into us and we will compile them and then we will have Claire back.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving me a chance to share all of this stuff. There's lots of woo in my world, so it's really beautiful to have a space that's where it's so welcomed.
Absolutely.
Oh, we're here for it. We love it. Thank you so much.
Welcome and needed. And thank you for, you know, being so open to sharing it all because it is a lot of learnings and it is a lot of work that you've put yourself through.
Yeah.
And there is a sense of vulnerability in putting it out there as well. Obviously, you're in a safe space here, but, you know, there's lots of people in this world. So it's, you know, just doing the work and being you and embodying that takes a lot. So
it does. I'm so past all that though. It's like, bring it on. Let's do it.
That's great. And that's why we love this podcast. We get to speak to all kinds of magnificent people doing the thing.
All of the witches.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. And to our podcast coven, we will be back with you next week.